This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Today on a special roundtable, Americans have come to see the struggle for civil rights as a black struggle. African-American boycotts and protests inspired many other groups to fight for equal rights. Today, undocumented workers and their supporters are using the language and tactics of the civil rights movement to make their voices heard in the immigration debate, including a national boycott planned for May 1st. Some black civil rights leaders have embraced the cause of undocumented immigrants. Here's the Reverend James Orange at a rally in Atlanta earlier this month.
We come together.
Tenemos juntos.
The civil rights community.
La comunidad de derechos civiles.
The Latino community.
De la comunidad latina.
The African community.
Los africanos.
The Asian community.
Los asiáticos.
The people of the world come together to say our time has come.
La gente del mundo dice.
But others question whether the immigrant rights movement should be equated with the struggles of black Americans. NPR's Farad Chidea spoke with Wade Henderson, executive director of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, Orlando Patterson, a professor of sociology at Harvard University, and Flavia Jimenez, an immigration policy analyst for La Raza, the nation's largest Latino civil rights organization.
Flavia, let me start with you. How does the historical civil rights movement and the emerging immigration rights movement compare in your perspective?
Well, we do see some similarities in the struggle of people who are trying to have their voice heard in the workplace and in society in general as being similarities between what the African Americans were going through in the 1950s and 60s and what we see Latinos going through really ever since the 1950s and 60s, an acceptance into society and into the rights that they should have and struggle with every day in terms of being fairly treated at work or having the access to health care and education that they need.
Is it a conscious movement or a conscious decision to use civil rights language among people who are advocating for rights for both undocumented and documented immigrants?
I think we have learned a lot from the black civil rights movement in this country, and so we have a need to keep learning from them, and I think that that's why the usage of the language.
Orlando, from a sociological perspective, is this what we should have expected as the immigration issue came to the table, or is this really something new?
Well, there are a lot of ironies here. 1965, as you know, was a crucial year in the civil rights struggle, the Voting Rights Act, and so on. But that movement, in fact, set the whole tone and changed attitudes in Congress, which allowed for another major event in 1965, which is the passage of the Immigration Act, which led to the flood of immigrants subsequently. I don't think personally that, I mean, certainly the methods being used, black Americans made possible a language, a set of strategies and so on, which any group which is struggling now in a collective way can use. But the goals are quite different. Struggling to be accepted after being here from the very beginning, hundreds of years, denied one's rights and so on, as citizens, is somewhat different from struggling for wage benefits and so on. I mean, I think it's very important to keep that distinction in mind.
You yourself are both black and someone who hails from another nation. How do you think
right.
that black immigrants are fitting into this debate, if at all?
There's no doubt that West Indians, people from the Caribbean, and increasingly, by the way, people from Africa, have benefited from the expansion after 1965. There's some reason to believe that it may have had some negative impact on blacks in some of the larger cities, in that employers seem to favor immigrants, including black immigrants, over native black Americans, which of course is unfair and is discriminatory. Whatever the reason, it seems to me that this sounds like a smokescreen for traditional racism. So I'm ambivalent in the sense that I obviously cherish this country's tradition of immigration, and I certainly think that expanding legal immigration is for the good of everyone. But we're talking about massive inflow of illegal immigrants, so many things get confused here. We're confusing the rights of workers on the workplace with the rights of citizens, with the rights of legal immigrants, with the rights if there is such a right, of illegal immigrants. And we ought to separate them when we're talking about, rather than have this vague sort of comparison or tended to assimilate immigration, the massive immigration sort of movement.
Wade, let me pick up on what Professor Patterson was saying. In D.C., where you are based and your organization is based, there have been clashes between African-American police officers and Latino residents, and blacks and Latinos have not always gotten along well in D.C. It's also a city where, you know, you've got this superstructure of government and white-collar work, and then you have a lot of black and brown people in particular who are undereducated and underemployed. How are things playing out on the streets there when you talk to people about how they feel about this?
I think we should say at the outset, make two points. First, no moment of social change is ever entirely comfortable or free of conflict. And number two, most Americans, regardless of race, believe the immigration system is broken and that reform is necessary. And when you put those two points together, we recognize, of course, that a conflict will arise when we have a system of immigration that doesn't work for all people. I think Orlando is correct in noting that there are some distinctions that have to be made between those who came in legally and those who are here in undocumented status. At the same time, it is important to recognize that there are also some real similarities. I thought that Flavia was correct when she noted the similarity in those who are seeking to have their voices heard as undocumented workers are today, just as African-American citizens did in the early 50s and 60s. But at the same time, I think Orlando is correct when he notes that those who have been here from the inception of this country and who are citizens of the country have a right to claim equal treatment as citizens of the United States. And I think that sometimes comes in conflict with the degree to which undocumented workers are subject to exploitation. I think we also have to recognize that there is a fundamental truth. An element of this immigration debate does involve economic interests that are desirous of exploiting cheap labor, and that's what the undocumented worker represents. So I think we have to look at these issues in a careful way, and I think we have to break them down so that we don't conflate important principles that obviously can't be blended.
Flavia, is it time for people who are immigration rights activists and who perhaps would want an amnesty to join forces with poor people of color who are American citizens who may be underutilized in the workplace? And if so, how would that bridge building take place?
Absolutely. It's time for to start building bridges, and I think it's something that is difficult to do, but absolutely necessary. One of the best ways in which, in my reading of the 1960s civil rights movement, that it was successful in some ways is that there were these bridges that were built of diverse coalitions. I think that it's time that Latinos in this country really learn about the struggle of the Black civil rights movement, and that Black civil rights leaders in this country also make more and more efforts every day to start linking the similarities that we do have so that working class in this country understand the different issues that are so pertinent to Latinos in this country as well.
Could I suggest that it's important we distinguish between the Latina citizen here in America who's been here for decades and illegal immigrant workers, whether Latina or Jamaicans, there are lots of them, or African. In the 60s, there was a grand coalition between Latino citizens and African Americans, and I'm all for that. But we shouldn't just shift and assume that we're talking about the same thing when we talk about illegal immigrants and their rights. That's what bothers me.
Well, I do have a problem with that. They are people that have come to the United States most recently, and those are newly arrived immigrants, because their own economic and political situations in their countries have led them to have to come to the United States. And unfortunately, there's no legal way for them to come cross over the border in a port of entry. But that does not mean that they have a different set of rights than those who are naturalized U.S. citizens. I, in fact, think that the separation question of people's equality and people's rights in this country is what leaves those who are quote-unquote undocumented so exploitable and under possible abuse. And I think that sometimes we do need to draw similarities because an immigrant from one generation or two generations ago, these people are still struggling. They're being exploited in the same ways that many of the working class Americans have been exploited over, you know, decades.
They are being exploited. I have no doubt about it, as are workers in other countries who sweatshops in other countries which are exploited. But the question there is quite simple. What should American policy be with respect to illegal immigrants? How many? What do we do to restrain it, if anything? That's the issue there. If you want us to talk about it and discuss what African-American position should be, then we can talk about that. There's no doubt that this is a separate issue.
I think that's right, Orlando. But I would only reminding you that most Americans, again, regardless of race, believe that the immigration system is broken and that reform is necessary. And that's really what the debate that's taking place in Congress today is really all about.
Flavia, let's take a look at things, I think, from a perspective that Professor Patterson might find helpful. How do immigrants or children of immigrants who are citizens in the United States, who are Latino, Latina, feel about undocumented workers? Is there a widespread support for amnesty, or is there a fear that people who don't have legal status are taking jobs from other Latinos who have citizenship?
Well, no one wants an amnesty. I think that all proponents of immigration reform really are working towards an earned legalization program that would take those who are currently living in the United States and are undocumented to earn their legal status with a conditional visa that would allow them to work here legally, but they would have to prove that they are learning English, participating in civics classes, and have to go through a background check. And finally, they would be able to obtain their legal permanent status, and only then could they obtain their citizenship. So it is quite a long road, and it's an earned legal permanence that we're seeking for. But we do find that once folks that are here are documented citizens, perhaps, learn about some of the more egregious, harsh proposals that are being put forth in Congress, that they do understand the struggle of the undocumented immigrants, and they do recognize that perhaps some of their own family members are undocumented, and so that there isn't that much of a difference in terms of talking about economics and jobs. That does get a little bit more complex, and there are differences in how people view the undocumented versus documented. It is of such importance that we change our immigration laws so that they reflect the economic and social reality of the United States currently, so folks in the future can come over legally, and that way everyone will benefit.
There was recently, Wade, a study that sent out resumes from a black candidate and a white candidate, and to make a long story short, found that a white man with a drug felony conviction would get a call back faster than a black man with no criminal record. Yeah. So when you talk about economic and social realities, what does the immigration debate add just as a layer on top of the already restricted job opportunities, especially for black men, but including for black women?
Yeah. Look, discrimination based on race in America still exists, and I think the study you cite for I helps to confirm that reality. I think those who would seek to use immigration, and particularly undocumented immigration, as the basis for suggesting that African Americans are affected economically, that analysis ignores the policy reality of America today, in which education of equal basis continues to be denied to many inner city communities, and particularly black and Latino citizens, where economic opportunities are constrained both because of exploitation in the workplace and the failure to enforce meaningfully labor laws that are here on the books today. And lastly, because of the significant presence of undocumented workers who do have an impact on the general conditions of society, largely because of their fear of coming forward to report violations in the workplace for fear of being deported. Certainly, I think the immigration issue has had some general impact on economic conditions, but at the same time, I think to suggest that the immigration problem is the root cause of the difficulty for black workers, either male or female, overstates the problem significantly.
What I want to do is end on a question, and that is your question. What questions should we be asking right now about the linkages between the immigration debate and the civil rights movement, or about the immigration debate in general. And since we stopped with you, I'm going to start with you, Wade.
Well, I think the big question today is whether, in resolving the immigration problem, which we all admit exists, will America still turn its back on a longstanding commitment it has to African-American citizens, Latino citizens, white citizens, those who have been here in economically depressed circumstances? Race, poverty, class, and inequality have blended together in ways that require us, of course, to look at them comprehensively, but also to recognize that this country has an obligation that is due and owing not only to citizens who have been here for long standing, but to resolve the existing civil rights problems of today, and that includes the plight of the undocumented.
Professor Patterson?
Yeah, well, the problem, I'm afraid, is a very broad one, having to do with globalization, but also having to do with America's relationship with the countries immediately around it. And I think one of the big questions we have to ask is just, what's the nature of citizenship in America now, and is it changing? There's a sense in which the illegal migrants from Mexico are making a kind of implicit demand, which no one ever voices, which is the fact that America somehow owes Mexico something. I mean, a good part of America is taken from Mexico, and a good part of Mexican history involves tremendous exploitation from America. And this broader question raises a whole big issue of what is the nature of citizenship, and whether in this post-industrial, globalized age, we can indeed make the claim that there is such a thing as citizenship, which it provides one with special privileges. And that's what intrigues me about this. And I wish this dimension of it would be brought up in the debate, but no one wants to bring it up.
Flavia, what's the question?
How do we effectively meet the challenge of Latino organizers and advocates to bring more African Americans to the table and learn from the 1960s civil rights movement?
Well, that was a great place to leave it. In Washington, D.C., Flavia Jimenez, immigration policy analyst with La Raza, and Wade Henderson, executive director of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, also in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Professor Orlando Patterson. He's a sociologist. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.